You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda Hall Psychic on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic. I hope you've had an absolutely fantastic week wherever you are in this amazing planet of ours. As we head into this weekend, which I know it's only early in the week, here in Australia we're going to be celebrating Mother's Day. So I want to get it in early and say Happy Mother's Day to all the mums around the world, whether you live in Australia or not. It's a very magical time of the year and everybody should celebrate you because it's your time to sort of be spoilt and breakfast in bed and have the family gather around and tell you how important you are because you are important to each and every one of us. So this week the Simply Tarot card was the very first one that we actually designed in the tarot set when we did it many moons ago now, well over 20 years ago, and it's the Ace of Wands. It's the card of new beginnings, of birth. Now, when we talk about birth, we're not always talking about birth of baby. We're talking about the birth of new ideas, new creations. So it's a time of renewal. It's a time of things to sort of get started. It's the birth of new ideas. It's opportunities. It's things that you maybe have been sort of rolling around in your head for a little while, but all of a sudden they start to formulate. They start to take shape. They start to become a creation other than just a thought bubble. Now, for those of you that don't know much about this card is actually the frangipani bush or tree that has a beautiful flower on it, which has no beginning and no endings apparently in its meaning. And that's actually my hand, and the frangipani bush was actually out of my front garden. So it's a very special card to me. It was, as I said, the beginning of Simply Tarot, and it was something that, you know, was very close to my heart, that what were we going to use as a wand in the card, that I wanted to put a different sort of twist or a different flavour to it. And that's when we came up with the frangipani bush. So for everybody around the world this week, it's a time of new beginnings. It's an opportunity. It's a time to birth those new ideas, to get your creative hat out of the wardrobe or the closet, and start to look at sort of being quite positive, being special, you know, being invigorated to sort of, I almost look at this card as being the first of spring. You know, we get fresh ideas, we get a renewed energy around that time of the year. Well, I certainly do. But it's also just a time of great creativity and listening to those ideas. Some of those thought bubbles may not just be thought bubbles. Maybe there's something that we can create or move along the chain of events and sort of say this can be the next big thing that we're going to be tackling. And sometimes it's only little ideas that end up becoming something terribly important to us. And at the time, we didn't give it that sort of credibility, thinking it was going to end up being such a major turning point in our lives, because after all, it was only a thought bubble. So new beginnings this week, the Ace of Wands. So astrologically, I mean, yes, I've been talking about it for a long time. It's a very busy time astrologically, and this week's no different. Happy birthday to all the Tauruses. It's your time of the year. It's your time to shine. It's your time to sort of turn around and say, well, the sun's gone around my zodiac for another 12 months, and it's my special time of the year. And it's the time of the year where I can sit back and sort of look at everything that I've achieved and sort of ask myself, what are the new horizons that I want to achieve, or what do I hope to anticipate or achieve or deliver or make changes in my life in the next 12 months. We don't always have to be constantly changing. I think that's the message too. We tend to think as another birthday rolls around, oh my goodness, what didn't I do? What didn't I achieve? What am I hoping to achieve for the next year? It's almost like our own personal New Year's Day. But I think sometimes we've just got to be thankful that we made it another year, that we're, you know, we achieved what we set out to achieve, and we mightn't have completed everything, but that's okay. That's life. That we can be satisfied that we're still alive and kicking and breathing and our lives are where they're meant to be. And I think sometimes when you make peace with things like that, that you make peace with that you're precisely where you're meant to be, it tends to take a lot of pressure off ourselves, pressure that we put on ourselves to constantly be improving or get a better car or move into a bigger home or whatever the case may be, instead of enjoying what we've got at the moment and being thankful and satisfied for that. And that's what I think the Taurus energy brings to each and every one of us, is says, let's just sort of slow down, smell the roses, smell the coffee, and be thankful for what we've got. We don't always have to be at the top of our game. We don't always have to be aspiring to get that new possession or whatever. We can just say, I'm happy, I'm satisfied, and I'm comfortable at where I am, and I'm pleased I got here. But, you know, it took a lot of hard work, and now I'm here. I'm going to enjoy a little bit of time to contemplate and reflect and enjoy the moment or enjoy this time in our lives. I think we constantly spend too much time chasing things throughout our lives that we don't forget to celebrate the milestones, whether they're big or whether they're little, that we've achieved in our lives. And that's really important. And as I get older, I seem to understand more. It's so important that those memories just sort of slip on by. You know, we're so busy raising our children, we forget to really enjoy them as much as we could because we're busy running to the next thing or getting them to the next football match or the ballet or the whatever the case may be, that we look back when we get a bit older and say, where did all those years go? We've missed, you know, the children have grown up and left home, and hang on a minute, I missed it. You know, we were too busy trying to get to where we needed to go. So I think it's a good lesson for all of us to slow down just marginally. We also have the planet Mercury, the planet of communication, is sitting in Taurus. So this means for each and every sign, but particularly the earth signs, which are Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, and the opposite sign of Scorpio, it's a time to make sure that our communication is crystal clear. Make sure that the other person is listening. If you've got something important to say or something that's really got to be said, then make sure that the other party or parties have got their listening ears on, that they fully understand what you're talking about, because communication to you at the moment is the utmost importance. It's something that says to you that I've got something important to say, I want you to listen, then we'll sit down and discuss, you know, what comes out of that conversation. You'll have your chance to have your say, and then we'll go backwards and forwards from there. So anything that needs to be clearly decided at the moment on a communication level, no matter what your star sign is, make sure the other person is listening. If you're signing contracts and things like that, or looking over something really important, whether it's legal, government, or just something official in your life, make sure that the details are correct. You know, the Taurus energy is about focusing on money and possessions and making sure that everything that we're working on is correct and it's in its right procedure. So it doesn't matter what your star sign is, if you're signing anything important or sending something in the mail, and even an email or a text message these days comes under the form of communication. Make sure it's clear and concise. Don't just do something out of anger because somebody's upset you. Give it a couple of minutes, have a cup of coffee, go for a walk, talk to the dog, do something, and then come back to it and see if you still feel the same way. If you do, then by all means, sit down, orchestrate what you're going to say in a very clear, concise manner, and then, you know, have an idea of what you expect the response will be, so that you're sort of already working on what your response to the response may be. We have Jupiter, the planet of luck and opportunity, has finally gone retrograde in the last 8 days, is now moving forward at a very fast pace of knots through the sign of Cancer. So it's interesting because Jupiter in Cancer really did affect the Cancers and really did affect the water signs, which are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces, and the opposite sign of Capricorn, where they felt that they were on a piece of elastic. They'd take a step forward and then they'd get yanked back. It was sort of like a tug of war going on. You know, you really started to feel like you were making some progress, and then boing, you'd bounce back to where you were or below where you were, and you had to start all over again. And I appreciate that that was very frustrating. But for a lot of people, when they see this back in hindsight, they'll see, had they been able to proceed at that time at the pace that they were going, they would have made some very critical mistakes, or things wouldn't have panned out the way that they wanted them to. So the delays, or the, you know, your life being yanked back on a piece of elastic, was really important to prevent you from going too far too quickly, and maybe in time then being disappointed or not happy with the results because you'd been a little bit like the bull in the china shop, gone a little bit too quickly and broken things down on the way that couldn't be mended. So that was a really important lesson. And it did flow over to the other remaining eight signs. I know a lot of my clients around the world were sort of saying, I just can't seem to get a go on. You know, as much as I get traction, I keep being pulled back. Well, now's the time to put those plans back into action again. You will get a much clearer run now. If it's meant to be, things will progress at a fairly fast pace now. So, but make sure that you're really listening to your inner voice. That's your inner compass that sort of says to you, this is right or this is wrong. And sometimes it's okay to say, well, hang on a minute, I was on this path, but after some reflection or after, you know, a few things crossed my path, I've now decided I need to deviate or change directions or change course, or maybe even completely say I'm on the wrong path and I need to reassess this. That's okay. There's not always is one size fits all. We have to learn to be able to be flexible enough to make changes in our lives when the time arises and we're shown that there could be a better way. Now, the big news this week is that Pluto, the planet of transformation, has been sitting in Aquarius a bit over 12 months now. So that's not necessarily the big news. But what the big news is Pluto has finally stopped going retrograde. He's in a stationary position at the moment, getting ready to get the momentum up to move forward again. Now, why is this such big news? Well, Pluto's the planet of transformation. You know, it's slow, deliberate, definite. Lessons learnt by Pluto are lessons that we don't forget in a hurry. The fact that it's in Aquarius is asking us to think outside the square, is asking us to think outside the box, to have a different form of thinking in the way that we process things or the way that we resolve conflict. And the reason why I'm saying this is important is that there's been so much, you know, conflict going on in the Middle East, and so many people have had an opinion, and I'm not going to add to that opinion. All I'm going to say is from an astrological front, maybe, just maybe, we might get some breakthroughs because we've got people thinking differently. We've got people sort of thinking outside the square and saying, okay, what we've done up to this point hasn't necessarily worked or hasn't given us the results that we want. Maybe we need to change tack. Maybe we need to change direction. Maybe we need to look at this from a completely different way, and then we'll start to see that we'll get some answers, we'll get some results that we never thought were possible, particularly coming from this angle. So that may just be the breakthrough that we've all been looking for around the world so that we can get the oil flowing and get economies, you know, up and running again. It's just a possibility. I'm just saying that, you know, with astrological things, yes, we can tie many things into many situations or many events that are going on around the world. I don't technically like to do that very often because it's a little bit of a guessing game. You know, like, yes, I can understand how the planets work and what energy that they're in, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be directed at that area. But to me today, it felt like that with, you know, the changes that are going on over there, with, you know, the different jockeying for positions from the different players in the war, it just felt like to me that maybe people are starting to think a little bit differently or look outside the square or looking for answers that maybe were closed off or they weren't prepared to look at even a couple of days ago. So fingers crossed we might start to see some movement and some change and some progress and finally get some peace back in that part of the world. It's really important. They've been through too much. And the same with Ukraine. We need to get some peaceful resolutions. We need for people to be able to get back to their lives and not living in a war zone all the time. It must be placing tremendous stress on, you know, from right from the young right through to the elderly. It's just not a time where anyone would want to live through that. We have Uranus, the planet of action, has moved in the last week out of Taurus, where he's been for over 7 years, about 7.5 years, into Gemini. So again, big news here, that Uranus is the planet of the unusual and the unexpected. Now, as a planet starts to enter a sign or is coming close to leaving a sign, it's when I believe that the energy is at its strongest, because it's trying to sort of say, hey, here I am. I've just moved into Taurus. See what tricks I've got in my bag. I can do many different things. So be aware of that, because with Uranus sitting in Gemini, it is again affecting the air signs. It's going to be affecting Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, the opposite sign of Sagittarius, and it's going to flow on to all the other signs. So things are going to happen suddenly. Now, with Uranus, you need to be very, very careful what you voice. You know, don't stand there and say, I hate my job, I hate my job. And the next thing you know, you've lost your job. And you say, oh, I didn't want that to happen. I really wasn't that bad. You know, you have a right to voice an opinion and say, I'm not happy with my job today. It's annoying me because of X, Y, Z, but, you know, it's okay. I'm sure it'll all calm down. So be very careful at what you do, because Uranus is listening and he only hears the impact statement, says, oh, well, I'll move that along for you. So on the positive side, things can happen out of nowhere too. So with Uranus here, he can create opportunities that you didn't see coming. And sometimes our thinking is set on track of that this is the only way that things can happen and this is our mindset. And something else comes in sort of sideways and you sort of think, well, maybe that could be a possibility. Hadn't thought of it that way. So be open to what could be crossing your path. It will be washing over the other remaining eight signs, but the first four that I mentioned is where the biggest impacts are coming. Now, we also have Venus, the planet of love and affection, is sitting in Gemini too. So for any sign, no matter what your star sign is, if you're looking for love and affection or looking to hopefully meet somebody new, when it's in the Gemini energy is local energy. It's like get out, get amongst the people, get amongst the local activities, you know. Go to something different than, you know, if you haven't been to a concert in the park before, go there. If you haven't been to the local art gallery, go there. Do things in your local environment. Get involved in community events. You know, if there's something going on in the community, they're doing a fundraiser for something, get involved in that. These are the places where you're likely to meet somebody special, somebody that could become very important in your life by getting out and amongst the community and getting to know things in your local environment. I think we get so busy sometimes that we forget to look at what might be just right under our nose, the things that are going on in our I didn't know they did that. You know, they've been doing the concert in the park for 10 years and you've just learned about it. You know, it's because you've been so busy and so focused on your life that you haven't had a chance to really stop and absorb what's going on locally. So I hope that's helped you. We'll check in with the stars again next week. And it is written in the stars. It's a very important segment of the show. We're going to talk with Donna now in Ventura in California. Are you there, Donna?
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Donna. How can I help you today? Do you have a question I can answer for you?
Okay, for 2 years, I've been very stressful. I had a thing with my housing, but I got a free lawyer and I won because I hadn't done anything wrong. Now, 2 months ago, in the neighborhood, there were a couple of policemen in front of the yard, and I just said, "Hi, is everything okay?" Now I've had people following me for 2 months. Is this going to stop?
Well, let's hope so. I mean, you know, that's a very peculiar thing to be sort of happening, you know, after you've seen two policemen in your yard and all of a sudden you're being followed. You know, that sort of almost makes me think, were they really policemen? You know, and that's just my normal skeptical sort of side to me that sort of says that, well, you know, it's odd. It's very odd.
I said nothing. I was just driving by. But now I'm like paranoid, you know, it's like, woof.
I don't blame you. I genuinely think fears are genuine, and I don't think that we should sort of just dismiss them and push them under the carpet and say this is not real. This is very, very sort of real. My first suggestion, and this has got nothing to do with being psychic, Donna, would be go down to your local police station and sort of happen to mention what's been happening and mention, you know, it happened after whatever, you know, the two policemen in your yard. You're not saying that they weren't official policemen. You just, you know, this is the sequence of events, and ask for their suggestions. Is there something that you could do, or could they, you know, up the patrols around your area?
They would follow me there, Amanda, and it's easy to find out somebody's family and this and that and that, and oh, God, I don't know what characters I'm dealing with. So I just go about my life and that's it.
Well, if you don't feel that you could go into the police station in person, could you maybe make a phone call and talk to somebody? Or have them send somebody out to talk to you?
They're going
to
know it's me. You see what I mean? They'll know it's me. That's what I'm afraid of. And then they're going to, because they're already following me, you know, which is, oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I just stay in the house a lot.
Yeah, but if they're not really police officers, if they are not real police officers that were in your yard, then we need to get to the bottom of this. Yeah. I mean, you've got to do obviously what you feel is right. I mean, you know, from a psychic point of view, there really isn't something that, you know, your ancestors or people that are watching over you are going to have a suggestion on this, because it's probably out of their wheelhouse in a sense. You know, like, it's not, you know, you're not asking should you move or anything like that. You're sort of, you know, this is a very peculiar set of events. Look, my gut tells me that they're not real. They're not real police officers. That's just what, that was my first interpretation of this. And I have to go with that. And I'm not saying what you're experiencing isn't real. I'm not saying that for one second. I'm just saying I don't believe that they were real, genuine police officers that were in your yard. Yes, they might have been dressed and acted like it, but I just don't feel that they were.
No, it's not my yard. I mean, it's not my yard. It's a neighbor's yard. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
They're close to you, though, aren't they? You know, and they're following
very,
you.
Very. Oh, yeah. Everywhere. So, you know, that's scary. But
your neighbor's not doing anything nefarious or against the law, are they?
I have no idea. How would I know? I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at logical reasons why they would be following you, and yet they're supposedly keeping an eye on the neighbor next door. What's the connection? Do you know what I mean? It just sort of seems a very odd thing to do. Look, psychically, what they were showing me was, I feel this is going to come to an end fairly soon. I think by the end of this month, the early part of next month, you're no longer on their radar. They're sort of there 1 minute and gone the next, and it's sort of like a week's gone by and you think, oh, wow, nobody's been following me. You know, like, you haven't been, I'm not saying you're obsessed with it, but you haven't noticed it. And then it sort of dawns on you that nobody's been around, and that's a good thing. I feel then you can start to breathe a sigh of relief. Look, I still go with what I first said. I don't believe they're official police officers, but I do think they are doing some sort of surveillance, and for some reason or another, you're on their radar because you live next door. But I truly don't think you've got anything to worry about too much. But I'm not saying don't be on your guard, but I do think it's going to be all over soon, Donna. So, you know, just keep your wits about you. Yeah, I know you don't know anything, but they're just surveying, they're just gathering material, and you just happen to be close by. I think that's the problem. So, you know, just be aware, but it's all going to be over soon. So that's where we've got to leave Donna. That's a really unusual situation to be happening in her life. We're going to talk now with Pat in Oak Park in Illinois. Are you there, Pat?
Yes, I am. Hi, thank you.
Hi, Pat. Do you have a question I can answer for you today, sweetie?
Yes, my life is kind of challenged. I would like to move. I lost my house 4 years ago. I had to leave, and I'd like to move forward. I don't know what that looks like, and I've got an adult son who has got some issues and blames everything on me, and it kind of breaks my heart.
Yeah, that breaks my heart too, Pat, to sort of hear your story. You know, look, children, love them or hate them, and we do a combination of all of the above at different stages throughout their lives. It's really hard for a parent, I think, particularly as a son is becoming a young man, to turn around and have them throw everything at them and say everything's wrong with my life because of you. And that's not completely true. Of course it's not. But I think your son, if I can start there, he seems to struggle with being able to put things into reality. It's sort of like, how can I describe this? Even though he's a grown-up, it's like he deals with things emotionally like a four-year-old, you know, like, well, this happened to me and I'm not happy, so I'll throw a tantrum. Or this happened to me and I'm happy and I'm excited and everything's exaggerated. He's not looking at it, putting any filters in there. He's looking at it and saying, my life's not very good, so it's got to be mum's fault. It couldn't be anybody else's fault. I couldn't have done anything wrong. It's got to be all her fault. If we hadn't had to move, if we hadn't had to do this, if this hadn't happened and that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be in this mess. Well, that's not exactly true. You know, look, life throws different things at us, and it's unfortunate that, you know, 4 years ago you had to move from your home that you loved and life was tipped upside down. And unfortunately, these things can happen to many of us at different stages in our lives where things are out of our control. No matter what we've done or how we tried to live our lives the best way we could, sometimes life intervenes and, you know, we get thrown a curved ball and things aren't necessarily happy. So I think the first thing that you've got to do is maybe not react to your son when he throws his little temper tantrums and throws, you know, hurls abuse at you or tells you everything's wrong in his life because of him. I would just sort of smile and walk away and go and have a coffee or something like that. Don't engage in that, because the more you engage in it, the more fuel you're putting on the fire and the more justification he feels in that he's right and he's not right. You know, he's a grown-up now. He's got to start to take some responsibility for his own actions, his own choices in life. You can't blame them for you. You gave him the best tools in his toolkit to enter his grown-up life the best that you could do. Now, if he's not happy with that, it's up to him to make those changes and to make choices that he thinks are going to enhance his life. It's his choices now. You're not controlling him in any way. So I think if you can slowly start to do that, and it is hard because, you know, young men sort of tend to be very verbal towards their mothers if things aren't going their way for whatever reason, I don't know, but they tend to do that more so than they do their fathers, even if their father was still at home with them. It's sort of it's mum's fault, I suppose, because she's the primary caregiver or has been. And they tend to, you know, feel closer to you, so they lash out more. I do feel your son's going to make some changes in the coming 6 months. And I do think he's going to start to get his life on track more than what he has done. Is he working at the moment? Because I can see a new job. No, there's a new job coming. And what's Woody?
He does have some alcohol issues.
Right, but I think that'll sort of that explains the mood swings. But I can see a new job coming for him, which I think is going to be a starting point for him. That, you know, he's going to start to sort of slowly turn his life around because he's enjoying what he's doing and it's giving him a little bit more exposure to other people where he's going to make some friends and things like that. I mean, the alcohol to me is just a crutch. He's using that as a way of sort of trying to block out what he thinks is wrong with his life, but alcohol is never the answer. It just makes everything worse because it changes your thinking and you retain stupid thoughts that you have when you've had a little bit too much to drink and they then become your truth. Look, I think you've got to now focus more on you, Pat, because, you know, you can only do so much for him. He's got to be the one to take the reins to his own life. But as far as you're concerned, you're not happy with where you're living. I do feel that there will be a change, but I don't think it's going to be much before September. Look, I'd love to turn around and say to you, things are going to go back to what they used to be 4 years ago, but that would be a fairy tale. There's going to be the next place that you move to me, has a better feeling. I feel more secure. I feel happier in myself. I feel like I'm finally starting to make some traction again in your life, which you didn't feel that you've been able to do in this last 4 years. And I keep wanting to say to you, it wasn't your fault. You know, like life just got in the road. There was nothing you could have done to change it, prevent it, head it off at the pass or whatever. It was going to happen anyway. So if you can accept that and try and forgive yourself in that way and say, I'm not responsible for my son's actions. He's a grown up. Yes, I'm here to guide him, to help him, to love him. But at the end of the day, he's got to be the one to make his own choices and make his way in the world. And you start to put yourself first. I think you'll find things will start to turn around for you, Pat. But, you know, just it's baby steps. You can't do it all in one day. Just take one little step at a time and just know that you are being protected and you are being guided. Anyway, Pat, that's where we've got to leave it. We've come to the end of the show and I wish you well. It's a really interesting thing because, you know, before the show each week, I sort of either pick a song or something has drawn me to that song during the week. And today before the show, I was sitting here thinking, I don't know what song I'm going to pick this week. Nothing was jumping out. So I went through my list of songs that I have on a playlist. And this particular song jumped out at me and I thought, well, this is a really interesting choice of songs. I didn't understand why this particular song jumped out at me, but now I do after talking with Pat. And it's the one and only Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra, and I Did It My Way. And I think that's a lesson for Pat that she's got to, and Donna, that they've both got to start to do things my way, not be influenced by other people, that they are strong enough in their own right that, you know, Frank Sinatra was known as being a little bit cranky, and him and I sharing the same birthday, I can understand that. It's not that you're cranky, it's you get into a focus of where you're focusing so much on things that you're so concentrated on things that when somebody else says something to you, you can snap at them and you don't mean to because they've interrupted your train of concentration. So maybe both Pat and Donna need to sort of bring that focus of concentration back to themselves a little bit like Frank Sinatra and, you know, go and play that song and start singing it out loud. I did it my way. And, you know, and I'm proud to sort of say that I did do it my way. So until next week, I'll leave you with Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra, and I did it my way.